This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. Even in a normal year, the holidays can be stressful. This year, health officials are recommending people who were planning to gather or travel for Thanksgiving stay home to reduce the spread of COVID-19. For many of us, this has been a year of sacrifice, and family might be exactly what we're craving right now. As important as it is to show our loved ones that we're thinking of them, it's equally as crucial to take care of our own mental and physical health. Dr. Michael Mazius is a clinical psychologist and directs two mental health clinics in Wisconsin. He spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel about how to take care of your mental health over the holidays. He begins by explaining how to navigate connecting with loved ones virtually.
Well, on the one hand, the Zoom call can be satisfying because you can see the person you're talking to. At the same time, you often don't see the whole person, so you can't necessarily get a true bead on how he or she really is doing, which then, of course, necessitates, your obligation to ask, important questions like, how are you doing really? And to be open to sharing as well, because you're probably more likely to get the real story if you share the real story as well. But if you have someone in your family or a close friend or a friend who doesn't have technology, then it's really important, to go old school, meaning you use the phone. I think it's really important right now to connect with people near and far. I just see that coming up over and over again in the psychological literature, just the importance right now of connectivity.
And just thinking back about, watching out for the mental and emotional health of our friends and family and the people we care about, people are now either figuring out where they'll go, who they will or won't see, and generally how they're going to approach the holidays. We've already been advised by healthcare professionals not to gather over Thanksgiving, but some people are missing their families and feel they need that break after so much time feeling isolated. So what's your advice for how people can take care of those mental and emotional needs during this time?
The pandemic has left many of us feeling alone and disconnected because, I'm going to sort of talk out of two sides of my mouth. On the one hand, we're Zooming with people, so we're connecting in that way. But on the other hand, I would argue that, the Zoom technology, virtual communication doesn't really hold a candle to, the real thing, where you're in a room sharing space with another person, especially someone who you feel close to. So the temptation to leave your apartment or your home at holiday time and reconnect physically, not virtually, with people, I think is great for many people. But at the same time, my bias obviously is safety. And that means that, loving someone and feeling love from someone to whom you're close this year requires sacrifice to increase the likelihood, not to sound dramatic, but to increase the likelihood for you and others that you'll be able to actually share the holiday together in person next year. So I'm a large proponent of keeping it simple and staying home. And if you share space with people, sharing the holidays with them only, and in an effort to make yourself feel more connected to others, doing what's second best, and that is getting on technology or getting on a telephone and reaching out to people. And that even can include people who you feel close to but haven't talked to in a while, either because, sometimes we just time passes quickly and we just don't talk to people we care about as often as we'd like. So Thanksgiving, for example, is a day on which many people, not all people, but many people don't work. And that's, I think, the perfect time to fire up the phone or re-fire up the computer and make some time being present with people, you know, virtually. I think actually that is going to go a long way. People are looking to connect, and they're looking to connect in ways that don't involve work. So the holidays are the perfect time to, you know, to satisfy one's appetite for that. So this may seem somewhat incomplete, but I think we have to kind of use what's available for most of us, what's at our fingertips, and take advantage of connecting with people that way.
And how can people talk to their loved ones about not gathering if there's maybe a difference of opinion? Some people who think that it's imperative that they gather, while others are concerned about the risk to spreading the virus.
I think the answer to that question requires most of us, if not all of us, to practice some skills that have been in short supply. Not to sound, you know, judgmental or you know, holier than thou, but I think that in the past several months and maybe the past few years, you know, many of us have been kind of short on listening to others, you know, with patience and agreeing to disagree in civilized ways. So I think that it's really important right now not to be judgmental and to be understanding and empathic, which means, you know, you need to listen and not just pontificate on what, you know, we think is right, which is another way of saying if you have relatives or friends who have different practices than you when it comes to the pandemic and holiday time, or even just, you know, the pandemic in general. Again, I think it's really important that you go with your gut, that you go with what feels safe, that you do what feels right to you, and that you treat others who want to go about things differently, you know, with respect and understanding. I just think it's really important that we do this at all times, and maybe especially now during the holiday season when you know, good cheer is historically has been expected.
You know, we've talked about Zoom and just using technology to sort of bridge that gap of isolation and connect with our loved ones over the holidays or just in regular times. What's your advice for people who are choosing not to gather with friends or family during the holidays, but are feeling some Zoom or video conferencing fatigue?
You know, again, apart from looking to technology, it's really important we take care of ourselves, and we can derive solace from and cheer and satisfaction from connection, but we also can connect with ourselves. And so, you know, like, what does that mean? Well, that means taking time out to just take care of yourself, whether that means taking a long walk, if that is something that you like to do, curling up with a good book, eating a good meal, engaging in activities that make you feel good. I think that's, I mean, that's important, obviously, at all times. You know, it grows, it fosters strength and happiness. But if at the holiday time, reaching out to other people with technology is not doing it for you, then it's probably especially important that you make time for yourself and that you nurture yourself in ways that feel good, you know, that are natural, you know, and that feel good. It's just really important that, you know, we love ourselves at all times. It may be even more important that we show love for ourselves during the holidays.
The pandemic isn't the only thing that we're dealing with that can be isolating at this time. It's a divisive time in the country politically, and that can add to that feeling of isolation and stress for some who are weighing how to approach this gathering time. So what suggestions do you have for people who want that sense of togetherness but have families with different political views?
I believe strongly in, you know, skill building. And skill building requires practice. And, you know, I think that after coming out of this election season, you know, and now getting ready to face what looks like a new presidency, you know, it's really important that we get back to what hopefully are our roots, you know, just practices that we all learned about, you know, way back when we were, you know, like little tykes in school. And, you know, again, I'm talking about the art and science and practice of good listening and perspective taking, and searching for, you know, shared understanding, or if you can't get shared understanding, just understanding. I find that, you know, people often mirror what they see. So if you're in a cantankerous mode and you don't know it, or if you do know it, you're likely to sort of get it back. If on the other hand, you're open to other people's views, you're curious, you're intent on listening and reflecting back, and you're not necessarily looking to change people's views or even necessarily seek compromise, what you're more likely to experience is a peaceful conversation. So I think this is the perfect time to kind of work on that. If after kind of engaging in an inventory of the self, you conclude that you probably haven't done that as well as you can or as well as you'd like over the past, you know, several months, not past couple years. I also want to say that I think this is really the perfect time to set some limits with yourself, because when you look to those venues for information, while on the one hand you can walk away feeling filled up, but you also can walk away feeling really emotional, you know, frustrated, angry, sometimes even despondent, and you can carry that into your conversations who want to engage you in political discussions. So I say, you know, limit your diet when it comes to media consumption. I mean, stay plugged in, but have limits. And when you're with people who want to talk about politics, and especially if they don't share your views, pay attention to the way in which you're relating to them and try your level best to be a good listener, a good perspective taker, and respectful and civil. And I suspect you'll find you're more likely to get that back, which will move conversations forward.
We're also moving into the colder months, and for me, the first Wisconsin winter. So what can people do safely to take care of their mental health needs, and how can people stave off those feelings of being isolated?
The winter, you know, poses some serious challenges, because, you know, for people who like to walk outdoors, run outdoors, it's way harder to do that, you know, from a comfort and safety perspective. So that can be really kind of thrown out the window, so to speak, in the winter months, kind of making it harder to, you know, stay healthy and stay positive. But I do think that, you know, in the winter, it's extremely important that we continue to exercise. And I also think in the winter, it's extremely important that you pay attention to the way in which you're eating. You know, it's just easy, I think, in the winter, especially if you're feeling kind of down or cold, to turn to comfort food. And I have nothing against comfort food, but I think it's really important that you pay attention to your diet. And you also pay attention to, you know, if you're 18 or older, you know, the degree to which you're, you know, indulging in alcohol or even other substances. It's tempting to seek substances when one feels stressed and even when one feels alone. So you really want to just, you know, engage in your metacognition, meaning, you know, you want to pay attention to the way in which you're operating, and you want to really try to stay healthy. And it's harder in the winter months, but certainly not impossible. And again, I was talking before about practicing. So, you know, when you practice good habits, it actually gets not necessarily automatic, although sometimes it does, but it certainly gets easier. So we have several cold months ahead of us, but, you know, that doesn't mean that they have to be miserable. We certainly have it within ourselves to make them, you know, enjoyable and satisfying.
Dr. Michael Mazius is a clinical psychologist. He spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel about the importance of putting your mental health first.